For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back once again with our weekly look at the world of non-league football, alongside, well, in the virtual world anyway, Mr. Dave Anson. Welcome back, Dave. Are you there?
Are you, Nick? You all right?
Yeah. You froze on me then, the wonders of the internet.
I know, yeah. To be fair, it went a bit sort of Doctor Who for me as well. So hopefully, we've just had a 10-minute chat with no issues at all, haven't we? So, but no, it's nice to be here.
If I've just gone a bit Doctor Who, should I be trying to get my equity card now? Am I sort of... maybe a change of direction is what we all need.
Listen, if me and you's going to be in Doctor Who, we better hope that the TARDIS is bigger on the inside.
Well, lots of flashing lights. I'm sure we'll all be attracted by the flashing lights. It's been a busy old week in non-league. Lots of questions, not many coming forward to answer, though. We'll start the show. And confirm that we have tried to get somebody on, and somebody on, and somebody on, and somebody further on from the National League again, just to try and get some sort of response, understanding of their thinking, what's gone on, what's about to occur. We've submitted formal and informal requests, very, very polite, but also very direct, to just try and G them up and make them aware that, you know, we want a response, the fans want a response, the clubs want a response. And we just don't. What we don't want is the non-league biting itself on the backside again, and or even worse, swallowing itself. Because at the moment, the lack of sound or acknowledgement of emails is fine, but if they don't never go anywhere, if aren't voicemails aren't answered, if text messages aren't responded to, we can't help either.
Yes, I would go further. I'd say name names, Tim. I'd say, you know, who have we emailed, who have we rang, and who hasn't got back to us?
Well, we've tried the National League directly. We've tried Brian Barwick directly. We've tried former friend of the show, Colin Beak, directly. People that we know have a passion for football are in these roles because that's what they claim, but we need them to now rise to the top. You know, someone like Brian Barwick, who's headed ITV, he's headed the FA... What do we talk about week in, week out on this show that we need a leader at the moment? There's someone that's got the title of leader to come forward. We need him to step up or answer his phone.
Yeah, at the very least. Listen, these people have a passion for football. I would never, ever, ever dispute that. But they've also a responsibility to football. And they haven't got a responsibility to all of football at the moment. They've got a responsibility to our level of football. Non-league football, they're meant to be the leaders of the gang, and we understand that we need these people because every ship has to have someone driving it, if you want for a better description. And at the moment, we've hit a storm, there's nobody on the bridge. And you're saying, look, you're like, we don't care if you come on and go, we've made a mistake here, albeit how many times you get that out of boards, you know, we've made a mistake. Well, we can't update you because we don't know. We're not sure how this is going to go or how that's going to go. But communicate with us, or communicate back by email, but have it signed. So have it signed, look, here's where we stand. We're not doing anything publicly. Listen, I would understand if we were one of 25 shows in non-league. But off the top of our head, and I don't want to do anyone else an injustice, and I don't think for any minute that we're putting ourselves as number one in this list, but we've only worked out that there's three non-league shows that we know of. There's our own show. There's Ollie Bayliss, BBC, who does BBC. And there's David Squires, who does the Ryman one. I can't think of anyone else. And if there is another there's another one.
There's National League podcasts. There's other people out there. But again, it's that if there's some leadership out there, bring us all together. Because at the end of the day, we're advocates for the non-league game, and if you give us a message, whether we agree with it or not, at least it's getting something out there. I think that again, one of the big issues we've had this week, more confirmation this week from the DCMS via MPs writing to MPs, letters that have been released. It says, look, again, there was no promise of grants over loans from the government. That's what the government are saying. Now, it comes down to a bit of a playground argument again, doesn't it? You know, who do you believe? Do you believe the government? Do you believe the league? Do you believe... But I think the big problem which we've talked about in recent weeks, without any notes or any minutes, you have to say the league is to blame.
Massively, you know, and come on and say you made a mistake. You know, don't get me wrong. I think a government body should take minutes at their tea break, never mind something like this. So, but listen, I don't want to get political. We do now and again. What I'm saying is that the people who listen to our show are non-league people. The non-league directors, boards, supporters, you know, any players, the odd player might even listen. We want acknowledgement and answers off the people who represent non-league in this. And that's the non-league board. You know, it's as if it's that one again where, you know, I think I said it a couple of years ago, when I grew up as a kid in Belfast, my mum couldn't pay the rent, man. They'd pull the curtains and lock the door and turn the lights out. And he'd drop the door until he'd get fed up and he'd go away, you know, and that's how you, until hopefully the next week you had the rent. This is what they're doing. They're effectively pulling the curtains and locking the door and hoping we're going away. We're not going away. Come on and say, we didn't take minutes. We made a terrible mistake. That's fine. But come on and say something. You know, it's the bottom line of as a football manager, you know, I'm not going out second half because we were crap first half.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to face the supporters because we've been rubbish today. Come on now. You know, but listen, Brad, how much does Brent Barnes sort of pay in subs to do his job? Huh? Or how much does he gain? He's on a wage, you know. He's on a wage that we'd all probably like to be on. Do your job.
Yeah.
Do your job.
We've got this situation as well now where the whole debate is taking place on social media. You know,
yeah.
For good or bad. But then there's no sort of guidance. There's, you know, like on the BBC now, on Question Time and shows like that, they have this fact checker. There isn't any of that because everybody's just putting their opinions out there and it's a big free-for-all.
Listen, the Nationals on Twitter, aren't they?
They are.
What have they said this week?
There's some nice promotional stories about the games that have been played.
Okay, brilliant. Is that it?
Yep.
That is it, because I've read it as well. What's that about? Do you know what? Well, what's that about? You know? Do you know what I mean? No, seriously, Tim. What's that about? Is that? That's like I can't get my head around. You know, look, we've stood and we've told the truth all the way through. I think it's the only way we'll be right and we'll be wrong, but we'll always tell the truth. And all I'm saying all along is it's a difficult situation. No one, I think, believes it isn't. It's a difficult situation. We've said that on different shows that we think. They've tried to do this, right, that. Even the fact of they've sent this vote out that's wrote in three or four stages, that it's the Krypton factor to understand it. But I get that. But now it's done. Come and talk to us. Tell us where you are with it. Tell us that the people on Twitter are wrong and these are... Tell it. You know, that's why it's going to be... Well, it's a mess now anyway. But now we're going to get information from everywhere except where we should be getting it from.
Yeah, I mean, one story that was, applauded this week, announced since we last recorded, was the National League are going to be paying for COVID tests, which is something, again, we've spoken to the manager's chairman in recent weeks about the importance of that. Now, there was also a study this week from the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine suggesting that COVID transfer between sports equipment is even more unlikely than we thought before. Now, I don't think this is the first time you and I have said that wiping down a ball with anti-back every corner is a pointless exercise when you've got grown men wrestling each other to the ground one inch away from each other. So I don't think that's a big surprise. The lateral flow tests, I know from my own experience, are a step forward, but they're not a test. They're a screen. You know, you've even got the World Health Organization saying that they work where they're most infectious. But I know that, you know, you can get a negative test on that quite easily, even in the early phases of infection. So as a football club, you know, we all do lateral flow tests, all negative, but one of them is actually it's a false negative, so he's actually positive. But for the next 7 days, we're all jostling around, having fun, and then. Over the next 7 to 14 days, everybody starts failing their tests. So it's a step forward. I agree, these lateral flow tests, but it's not really where elite football should be at to make sure that it's safe for the guys that are playing for them. That, you know, and as we had Paul Doswell talking to us the other week about the physios as well. You know, these people are proper in close proximity. But again, this is where it needs some guidance, not just the league, but also from the FA.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think any sort of test, well, I can't believe that football has actually gone on without testing. That's the first thing. You know, how's that been allowed? You know, never mind the FA, how's the government allowed that? You know, where you can't, if I go to the shop for a bag of crisps, you know, instead of my way, I'm getting pulled. I understand, and I'm fine with that. But how can teams travel up and down the country without being tested? Nonsense. So, okay, good news. We're now getting some sort of testing at our level of football. Should happen on a twice-weekly basis or however you want to do it. It mightn't be foolproof, but it is a start, Tim. It really is a start. But, you know, who's actually came on and told us about that? You can't. I'm more about, for me at the moment, it's about where's the leaders and why are they not showing themselves up in the media so that they can communicate with the base, with the players, with the boards, with the supporters who are forever in the dark in these situations. And I'm not saying, look, if you don't like our show, fine, don't come on our show. Go on one of the other two. And one of the other two will, I'm sure, allow us to take extracts from it. And then we'll all get it out to the fan base. But, you know, you put it like this. Do you know what? I want Brent Barwick to come on and tell me why he shouldn't resign. Why should he not resign in the way things have been over the last 2 weeks? And I would like the rest of the board to come on and tell me why they haven't asked him to resign. And why, in fact, they're not looking at their own positions. That's where we are with it. You know, so that's how I feel. And I'll keep my voice down because, you know, to breathe. But it angers me. It angers me that it's got to this mess. It's an absolute mess now.
It is a mess. And when you're talking about that, you know, they need to speak to a media outlet or two. Or, you know, in the past, we've acted as a catalyst and seen our stories then go on to the main BBC site or picked up in the newspapers and things like that. But it seems like they're not even talking to the national media. So it's as if non-league doesn't exist. It's going on and it's kicking its feet here, there and everywhere. We're losing traction for the understanding of non-league football. And anybody that's then looking in, he's only looking in at the social media debates and the people saying, well, the league aren't saying this or they're not doing this. Non-league's at risk of disappearing up its own backside and falling down a deep cave. We're going to speak to, hopefully, you know, two different clubs who've got different philosophies or decisions to make. So the season continues or the season doesn't going forward. But it's only by those clubs coming forward and stepping out of the darkness that we understand where their position is. But non-league needs some sort of connectivity, or we'll discuss with these guys that there's a risk that non-league could crumble and take itself on. We'll end up with a decision that no one's happy with, rather than just some people are unhappy with.
Yeah, I think that we're never going to get both sides of the argument to agree on it. I think it's one of them. I think both sides of the argument will understand the other side of the argument, if you like. You know, the teams who want to carry on will understand sides who don't want to carry on, and vice versa. And there'll be some in the middle who don't know where they are. I get all that. Before all that, turn back 3 pages. It's all about your leaders in situations like this. It's all about leading, you know. Listen, if I'm not mistaken, the leaders of the national are the board, and the leader of the board is Brent Barwick. Am I right or am I wrong in that? And if but they've had this tagged at them. I've been in non-league for, I don't know, let's say 35 years ish, right? The FA, we've aimed it at them. The grey suits guys with the doors shut. We've over the years, every board that that I know of in football has done this. The FA have done it. The conference board, the Ryman board. We've always had times where we feel that they haven't been as accessible as they should be. And again, we're saying for us, but for us, so we can then transfer it out to the public. Or if they're not going to use us, start your own radio show and do it. But get it out there, you know. But I think this time, more than any of the last, when we're doing this show, 15 years, I'm going to say, 15 years, this time, more than any time, they need to be accountable and they need to open that door and come out quickly.
So let's get a viewpoint of one club who have got a good debate going on social media. We've spoken about the wonders of social media. This is where, because of the lack of interaction from the league and the FA, this is where the debate's having to go on. Let's have a chat with the chairman, who no doubt appreciates all the arguments about drawing the season to a conclusion, but it's keen to do all he can to make sure that we get this season finished. It's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Joint Chairman at Gloucester City, Alex Petherham.
Oh, yeah. How are you?
Good, Alex. Now, top of the league, of course, so people are going to say to you, well, you're swayed with that extra carrot that you don't want the season to end.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think if anyone thought, I believed, we'd be top of the league, I'm going to say in February, but it's not actually February in football terms, but you get what I mean. If anyone said that we'd be top in February, I'd have laughed at you. So for us to sit here now top in February is fantastic. It's just a shame we've only played 17 games. Does the position of our club being top of the league change my opinion? No, it doesn't. For me, it's all about wanting to play football, and we're now in a position that we didn't expect to be in, and I'm big enough and open enough to say that. And do I think the likes of Fylde and York and the big boys in the league are going to come really hard at us? Obviously, I think, you know, they're bound to, aren't they? You know, they've got more budget than we have, but we've got more shipping containers than both of those clubs put together. So those guys are bound to come at us really, really hard, and Kidderminster as well, and, you know, Boston, all the ones that you would expect to be there. But if we can finish up the season in and around the playoffs still, we'll have had a fantastic season kind of period, right? So my opinion is not based upon us being top, because I think we're very blessed to be there. Would I love the opportunity to keep playing football and to every night tell my son? Because every night when I get home, he doesn't quite understand the idea of, you know, we're currently suspended and I'm never going to start to explain it to him because I can't explain it to myself. But on the basis, every night when I get home, he says, Daddy, are we still top? Are we still challenging? You know, I sit there. I don't want to burst his bubble because he's nine, and nine-year-old kids want to be in the garden kicking balls, right? And I want to be in the garden, maybe not tonight because it's blooming freezing, but I want to be in the garden kicking balls with him, yeah? And at the moment, he's got the buzz and he's doing what nine-year-old boys and girls should be doing. And that isn't sat at home in an Xbox. It's sat in the garden scoring goals, dreaming that he's Matt McClure, but luckily a bit of a better looking one.
I've known Matty since he was a 17-year-old. So, yeah, if he can score goals like Matty, then that's all you need to know. To be fair to you as well, Alex, I think you were one of the guys last year when you were in a very different position in the league, and you were still campaigning for, you know, to get the season finished in some form or other. Now, you mentioned, you know, someone like York City with the bigger resources and things like that. You've played 17 games. I think they've still only played 12 games in the league. We're talking about getting the season finished, but how far away is finishing that season?
Yeah, it's barely started, isn't it? So I've spoken to a lot of the clubs, and I think I completely understand why some clubs can't continue, and no one should be forced to play football, right? And no one should be forced to do anything they don't want to do. But I think for the clubs that can go forward or want to go forward, or clubs like us, we're accepting the fact that we're going to need help from Sport England, but I'll happily take the help from Sport England. And I'm sat here now in my office, literally completing additional questions that they keep coming back with me from. So I had a meeting with them last week. I had an additional meeting on Friday, another meeting on Monday. We submitted additional information last night, and I'm sat here now doing more. But they've had everything. They've had bank statements for the past 6 months. They've had players' wages, everything. You name anything that, well, everything. Literally, it's complete open book. So I understand why some clubs might want to do that. For us, we haven't got a choice, right? I want to play football. So the only way for me to do it is to be transparent and literally disclose every bit of information we have. And they're going through it with a fine tooth comb even. And so they should do, because they're distributing money that obviously needs to go to the clubs or the sports even that need it the most, right?
Yeah, I get that. I get that, Alex. I suppose what I'd say to you, if you're saying that people who don't want to play or can't play don't need to, how do you get around that as far as a league's concerned?
Well, quite simply, you can't force someone to become insolvent, can you, right? That's against every business model law in the country. So if they can't continue to play football because they're going to become insolvent and they don't want to or can't take additional support, funding, grants, whatever, then I feel they should be allowed to quite literally say, do you know what? I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. I'm not going to play football for the rest of the season. We're going to put the players and staff we've got on furlough, and we'll see you next season. The risk for me is the furlough scheme currently ends at the 31st of March, is it? I might be wrong. Yeah. So 31st of March, but the season doesn't finish until June, right? And football contracts are written to the 6th of May or the last football match of the season. So the last football match of hopefully our season will be the 19th of June, which, but just to let you know, Dave, that's my birthday. So I accept, you know, all the usual things. But 19th is the current playoff final. So hopefully we'll be at that event, or better still, we'll have managed to continue the dream and continue the position we're in now. But like I said earlier, York and Fylde and Boston and Kiddie are massive clubs, bigger than we are.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, so are you saying that if six teams in your division can't play, then they don't play, and everyone else plays? How do you deal with the games that maybe some of you would have played against them and others wouldn't have?
Well, there's two ways.
As an example, yeah.
Yeah, two ways to do that. You can either keep the results for against each other now, or because you're going to be naturally shortening the season, because then again, you're six if you're playing, for example, in the North, or eight if you're playing in the North, you just play each other again twice, right? Or you just agreed to do it over one leg, or... It all depends on how many clubs actually want to play. And because the league is being so, what's the opposite of transparent? But that word, because ever that clever.
I think technically the word is opaque, but it may be black, I think.
Opaque's a phrase I've never heard. And I'm going to point out, because the league are being particularly opaque, no one actually has a Scooby-Doo over what clubs are doing. So what you have got is you've got some clubs that are going to come out on social media. And I hate social media. I joined it 2 weeks ago just because I felt that there was such a farce of information coming out that someone had to, A, challenge fake news, respond to some of the nonsense that's being spoken, and at least try and have a voice. So 2 weeks ago, I joined it and I'm having a go and I hate it and I'm getting a fair bit of stick, but in 99% of it is banter, apart from this one geezer called D. Anderson. I'm not sure who it is.
Don't listen to him. He's a mug. I would say with the social media stuff, you have to take it with a pinch of salt. It is it's a way of communicating, but it's not something that I would go to bed and worry about. I would ask you a serious question, though.
Yeah.
Does that, you know, if you're talking about, and I'm chucking numbers here that I don't know, say, for instance, 10 teams want to play in the North and the rest don't, 14 want to play in the South and the rest don't, does that not make a farce of what the division should be?
Yes. And you can answer that question twice, can't you? You can say that clubs have potentially started a season that they can't finish. And that is the fault of probably the league, because they did state at the beginning that the season wouldn't start without fans being allowed or financial support in grants. But if you actually read what they've written and what they've said are a little bit different. But the problem is what they've said has probably been exaggerated or watered down. I don't quite know which side of the coin, because so much of it comes out of clubs. And what's that posh word again? Opaque. Because they're pretty opaque, so much of it gets passed about from club to club to club. And then you get the old Chinese whispers, right?
Yeah. You wouldn't have heard Dave and I speaking in the introduction that...
Yes. Well, believe me, Alex, you don't need to hammer the board of Brant Barwick, because we've basically nailed them the wall for 15 minutes. And do you know what? This just sort of verifies what we've said, is that you were unaware of that and you're saying the same stuff. We need leadership somewhere.
And you say you've joined social media, in recent weeks, just to... try and we'd already mentioned about this fact checking situation, because we're lacking leaders at the moment. That's what we've been talking about. We're lacking leadership. Someone needs to step up. But obviously, in normal circumstances, these sort of votes, the resolutions, will be dealt with an EGM. And as much as chairmen hate these EGMs, it's everybody gets together in a club or a hotel or a conference room or something. Everybody has a coffee, has a chinwag, has a chat, and some chairman will travel together. So there's a chance to have a discussion before everybody sort of gets down to the nitty gritty and having a vote. We haven't had that opportunity, and already clubs have been firing in there. This is our answer to the resolution. And I don't think everybody's fully aware of the pictures of all the arguments, of all the possibilities. You're suggesting maybe these mini leagues and that, but we know that some of the clubs have already put their answers in on the resolution, so they haven't considered this mini league, because there isn't a debate. There's no conversation that's going on at the top.
Well, I could answer that one twice as well, because I think partially there's way too much conversation, and there needs to be a little bit of dictatorship, because at the moment you've got all these fellas wandering around the country in North and South in the National League, and we've all got different views and different opinions and different budgets and different bank balances and different wealthy owners or poor owners or whatever, right? Someone just needs to turn around and say, it's my train set, whether you like it or don't like it, this is what we're doing. And I get hammered for saying that exact expression at our football club, right? But it is my train set. At Gloucester City Football Club, there's myself and Eamon. I'm the slightly mouthier, slightly better, well, much better looking and definitely younger, but right? And then you've got Eamon, and Eamon's very much behind me all the way, but you'll never see him come out doing what I do, right? But that's because we are what we are and we accept each other, but it's completely 50-50, right?
Yeah.
So everything that we do in our football club is very much a dictatorship, and whether you like it or you don't like it, that's what we've got, right? And our manager runs the football club in the same way. He tells me what player he wants to sign, and I say yes or no, because he's dictating to me how that football team is put out on a Saturday, right? And I expect our bar manager to do the same. I expect our physio to do the same. I don't expect the physio to come to me and say, we've got an injury with a player. He's got an arm injury. Do you reckon I should massage his foot? I'm going to look at him and go, look, I'm paying you quite a lot of dough to do your job, so go and do it, or I'll get someone that can do it. And that's what isn't happening. No one's turning around and saying, whether we like it or you don't like it, this is what we're doing. And if you don't like it, I will let you, because of the exceptional circumstances we're in this year, I'll more than happily say, you haven't got to play by my rules this year. I'll see you in September for pre-season, or whenever pre-season starts, right? Or sorry, for the start of the season. And at the moment, everyone is literally doing their own thing. And what I find slightly entertaining is some of the clubs have got spokesmen that are, employees. So you've got employees making comments for the clubs But these employees need to realise that they will also be placed on furlough if their season ends. So I'm reading some of the comments on me on the social media and in the world from all these really posh job titled staff thinking, well, hang about. If the season's paused, fella, your job is furloughed, right? So because your role only exists if the ball's being kicked around on a Saturday and a Tuesday night occasionally. I don't think people understand that there's a bigger picture to all of it.
Listen, just, you know, and I know, listen, we're setting, you're picking the horse before the horse race starts. What do you genuinely think will happen, Alex?
What do I genuinely think will happen? And that's probably the biggest problem. I haven't really got a clue. I think that the North is heavily going to vote to null and void. I think that's apparent from the social media responses. I think the Southern clubs are voting very heavily in the complete opposite direction. We're a yo-yo club, right? We've gone north, south, south, east. If there's a West division, we'll probably get put in that next week. So I put a thing out on my Twitter the other day, you know, where do we want to be? Where do our fans want to see us, north or south? And at the moment, the majority of them are saying south because that's where they can play football, right? I don't think the season will get pulled the plug on. I would be really surprised if the season was pulled. I think a lot of clubs were campaigning really hard to try and get the season pulled for whatever their own personal reason was. And I don't have an opinion on that. I think everyone needs to understand that every club has got an opinion. If the three of us went shopping, right, we ain't going to walk out with the same pair of trainers. And that's life.
Listen, I'm not going shopping. That's how different we are. Do you know what I mean? And I get that. Listen, let me put it this. So here's what I've heard, a couple of different scenarios of people. And this is chucking stuff around. And this is why we need the leader to show up and say something. But for me, so effectively what you're saying is you should be able to finish your league in however many teams play. Yeah. And the ones who can't play because financially they can't or whatever their reason is are put on ice. So you're saying there's no relegation.
Correct.
But I'd also heard that from the National. I've heard that they will play because they're desperate to keep on the position into the Football League. And okay, we get that. But effectively, there won't be relegation out of it. You know, so if you don't play, so we're just passing this down the line a little bit and saying, okay, North and South play for as many teams as want to play for the promotion place. And the rest are put on ice. But we still haven't been told what's happening in the level below you.
Yeah, but we need to understand as well that the elite level is National League, right? So everyone voted last year around whatever we voted for last year, and I've never voted so much in my life apart from Brexit as all this, right? And what we need to understand is that Mickey Flanagan's got that joke, isn't he? I'm going out tonight, lads. Hang on.
Yeah.
Or are you going out, right?
Yeah.
And at the moment, it feels like the National League are going out. They're on the beer, they're dancing, they're having a right good time, you know, woo. And then there's me in the North and the South, we're only going out. And that can't be right. You know, we're all meant to be under this elite banner in inverted commas and hyphenated in italics and all that nonsense. Yeah. So either we're all elite and we're under the same umbrella or we are completely not. And what people need to understand is the leagues below us, we're in a football pyramid, right? Everyone wants to be going on last year's pyramid, Liverpool. They are the top of this pyramid. And whether we like it or not, football is a pyramid. And in business, pyramid businesses are banned. They're outlawed. They're against the law, right? You cannot now have a pyramid monopoly company. It's illegal. Football, you can do what you want, right? So in football, pyramids are designed to be there, and Liverpool are currently the top of that pyramid. And if there's no interjection between leagues, then that for me is an even bigger farce. And I completely accept that the leagues levels below are classed as something else that isn't elite. What is it, grassroots or whatever?
Non-elite, oddly enough.
Oh, it's that simple, is it? It's just elite or non-elite. Okay, well, in that case, we'll go back to the archaic word. They're way more interesting. So they're classed as non-elite. And then either all non-elite has got no movement and all elite has got movement, right? You can't have part of one and part of another. Because what really bugs me is we are still governed under the same laws in under football terms as the EFL and as UEFA, because our governing body among all of this in elite national league level is UEFA. So we have to have our pitches UEFA level standard approved, right? The leagues below don't. So why, yeah, why am I bothering spending whatever we spent on our pitch, lots of dough, right? £650,000. Why am I spending that amount of dough to become European tested and all that nonsense if actually we're going to pick and choose which parts of elite I've got to run with?
What I would say is that to stretch it out to make it to tell you how stupid it is when they say that you're elite, Liverpool's elite, so is Gloucester. Doesn't say that you're sort of elite, but they're elite. It doesn't say they're super elite and you're elite. It says Liverpool's elite club, so is Gloucester. So effectively, you should be tested twice a week.
Yeah.
You should be, and it should be, all that stuff should happen. So I think that they're tripping over their own rules, for want of a better description at the minute. But for me, if that's the case, then there has to be an argument for people at your level to keep the elite people going. I don't know, some sort of funding, some sort of grant, some sort of something. Allow the furlough lads to play. I don't know what the answer is, but I think if you go down, I think the last answer should be the one you're proposing, if I'm honest, where some people don't play, some people do.
Yeah.
I'm saying if that's the last option, then certainly it's got to go under the table. But I think there's an awful lot of other things that people on the conference board or the FA or the government or whoever it may be should be sitting down and going, how can we make this happen?
It's all about, if you go to Tesco tonight, other supermarkets are available, right? And you pick up and you get home and you find out it's a lasagna. It ain't what it says on the tin, right? So at the moment, we're a football club that can't play football. And I read the other day that the one of the pubs was saying we're allowed to open potentially. They've heard a rumour, and that's the other problem. It's another rumour. Pubs can open, but they can't sell alcohol. Well, I've got a football stadium and I can't play football. So, you know, at what point do you draw a line on the ridiculous? You know, it's it just all goes
back. I think you've just put it perfectly, to be honest.
Yeah. It just needs to come to a conclusion. Someone has just got to grow a pair and tell us what we're doing. And then you'd have all the mouthy ones like me saying, that's ridiculous. But someone just needs to turn around and say, Alex, wind your neck in, do as you're told. And I'll be like, all right, I heavily don't agree with you, but thanks for having the guts to tell me to wind my neck in and do as I'm told. Because at the moment, you've got 66 clubs all being like me, which is completely maverick. And we all know how maverick ended. Goose died.
It reminds me very much of my kids' homeschooling, where they have a Zoom classroom and everybody's still got their microphone up. So actually, no one, everybody's talking. No one can hear a thing that's going on. And at the end of the 15 minutes, everybody goes away and no one's learnt anything. And that, I think that's my biggest frustration at the moment, is that we're almost a year in. We certainly haven't moved forward in any respect in administration of football or planning or strategy or anything like that. We're still trying to sort out what we're doing this season. And really, someone also needs to be thinking about what's going to happen next season.
Can I be really outspoken? So
absolutely.
I don't think it's ever stopped you in the past.
Well, I've just been polite. The whole football thing, though, is run by a group of people that are there by default, right? It's almost like he who doesn't step everyone. So it's kind of like when you're at school, right? Who wants to go and put the bins out or move the tables, right? And everyone else steps back and you're left at the front going, oh, man, I wasn't paying attention. It feels to me like everyone that's left running football in general, and I mean that across most levels, are the ones that weren't clever enough to step back. So what you've then got is a board in football that have either probably got, you know, quite a bit of time on their hands. They're probably retired and they fit into all these sort of like boxes. And are they the right folk to run football? Would I want them in my business? Probably not. Would I employ any of them? Probably not. right?
But isn't Alex? Isn't that what Brant Barwick's there? Because he is a guy who has been at the top of TV channels and been around the FA. And is he not the guy? Is he not brought in to put all the amateurs in the right place?
Yeah, well, yes is the answer, but is it happening? Probably not.
No's the answer.
Yeah, what needs to... Look, I would be a nightmare on a board. I wouldn't listen to anyone. I'd do what I want, right? So I am not the right person to be on a board because I do not... I will do what I want. And if I'm not happy, I will push and push and push and argue and argue and argue until I eventually either get what I want or... someone puts up a genuine enough reason for me to say, do you know what, Dave, I was wrong. And because I was wrong, I agree with you. But at the moment, no one's challenging. No one's there isn't enough Type A personalities, is there?
No. Well, you can't. Listen, knows the answer. And it's always sort of been my argument of the grey suits. And to be fair, I've got to know some of these guys over the years. And when you get them one-on-one, they're nice guys. And I've also ripped into them a million times. But this time more than any time, we were just saying before you came on, Alex, this time more than 30 years or 30 odd years I've been doing it, this time more than any time, they have to be accountable and they're not. And I think resignations should be flying in because they are badly letting us down, in all honesty.
It people have just got to learn that they can also apologize. Like, you can make mistakes. Right, like, you know, I made a mistake once, and
yeah, you bought a football club.
Yeah, well, that was a mistake. Now, all joking, I do enjoy it. I just don't enjoy it right here, right now. You can apologise in life. You can say, I could have a right row with you now, Dave or Tim. Right, we can call each other all sorts of names, but you'd be amazed how quickly I go complete full circle and go, do you know what? I've now run out of energy to argue with you, Dave and Tim. So let's move forward. But that's my personality. I fully accept that is me. I'm very, very black and white. You can't be. I've got 3 kids. My wife has never yet come to me and said, darling, I'm half pregnant. Impossible. You're pregnant. You're not pregnant. Right. So when that happens, I'll probably take a bit more of a rounded opinion. But until we get to that stage, I think we all need to just concentrate on what we're trying to achieve at the moment, because 66 clubs are trying to achieve the same goal, right? Like, when we all went to the Brexit voting boxes, we were all trying to achieve the same thing. Whether we had the same opinion of how we got there is irrelevant, but we were all trying to get to a conclusion, right? And we've got 66 clubs now trying to conclude a season. Now, we can either conclude it by ending today, just knock it on the head. I'll moan, but I'll accept it because that's my personality. Yeah. Others might never accept it and might never moan. But so everyone will have a different opinion. But if it concludes today, at least it's come to a conclusion. If we're told today or tomorrow that you've all got to play on, some will moan, some will accept it, but we'll play on. There's a decision, right? Yeah. If we're told there's a halfway house, hybrid, compromise, whatever, then you accept it, you don't accept it. At the moment, we don't quite know what we're going to do. I dropped an email to the league in earlier because we want to play Saturday, truly want to play Saturday, right? My biggest fear was tomorrow at 4 o'clock, I was going to get a ping in my phone and it'll be, the league is now formally suspended for 2 weeks. Cheers. Chorley would have trained all week, booked a coach. Players would have potentially, I don't know if they're full-time or part-time, but potentially got time off work. We're full-time, so I can give you my model a little bit easier. We would have spent all week training 3 times this week in a match week. We would have spent X amount of money on players' wages, X amount of money on food, on training schedules, on scouting. And when I say scouting, I mean that, you know, watching tape and doing analysis and setting up a few kicks and all that stuff, right? So to put the game on comes at a cost, right? Someone we've had to have made sure we've got stewards and COVID officers, and we're now testing. We're obviously all now testing, so you've got to make sure you're going down all of those routes. So there's a lot to go on. So I sent to the league earlier today, like, this game is going to happen, right? Because I don't want to get to tomorrow at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and hear a ping in my inbox and say that you've wasted your week. Because you can get things back in life, can't you? You can get money back and you can get love back, but you can't get time back. So I'd rather not waste my time.
What did they say?
They said, at the moment, there is no... Yeah. And I just rolled my eyes and went, really? I just want a yes and no.
Never let you down. They never let you down, you know, at the moment. Yeah.
At the moment, no... Hang on. I'm going to read it to you.
Okay. This,
the exact word for word. As it stands, I lied to you. As it stands, there is no sign of anything changing this side of the weekend. So there you go. As it stands. So, as we are here now, we are playing football. We're prepared to play football. Truly are playing football. And I'm expecting a ping in my inbox tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Yeah. Or you could play the game at the weekend and get the ping on Tuesday afternoon.
I'll switch your phone off.
Yeah. I'd probably just play it anyway. I'd probably text the guy. Hey, you know what? They've told us not to. Let's put down some jumpers. Right, and we'll just take it to the same school rules that I grew up with. A couple of jumpers on the allotment, and we'll have a go.
Well, Alex, we've taken up plenty of your time, and you have got a football club to run. But of course, we've got to talk about football as well. You are top of the league now. When we spoke just before Christmas, you just stunned us all with the appointment of Paul Groves. He'd been dealing with UEFA competitions at Maccabi Haifa in Israel before he joined you, and then he stepped in, isn't he? It's quite a coup, and seems to be settling in well.
Yeah, he's done really well, isn't he? And I tell you what, I wouldn't have anyone else but him right here, right now. He is everything you give him. He is very, very classy. You know, he doesn't swear. Very similar to me. You know, he's very calm. He doesn't swear. He doesn't shout. So whenever I give him these ridiculous statements like, Gaffer, the game I think's on, have a go. He'll come back at me with like, you know, the most profound statement. And I look at him and go, I don't know how you're staying so level-headed, so calm in these scenarios. And, you know, we talk about it a lot at Gloucester about being comfortable when you're uncomfortable. And what I mean by that is if you're 1-0 up in the 99th minute, you know, you need to learn to be uncomfortable in that very uncomfortable situation, right? So being comfortable when you're uncomfortable. And that is very much where we are now as a football club. We are trying to be comfortable in a situation that far is that. But Paul's doing really well. He's obviously had a number of personnel changes, number of players leaving for various reasons. They've all, you know, gone on to do bigger and better things with our blessing come the end. So, like I said to you, I move on really, really quickly. So, you know, we've very much moved on. They've all gone off to do what they do. And we've now brought in a number of players to replace them. Obviously, we've gone down the loan market because we don't know if we're going to be playing football. So I said to the gaffer, look, Paul, we can't risk signing players on contract, but I'll happily go and let you get some loans in. And they've all obviously got all the right clauses in, you know, if the season doesn't continue or doesn't come back or blah, blah, blah. Clubs like Forest Green Rovers have been really good to us, and Cheltenham and Bristol. So we've kind of gone for the more local market where the player or the personnel is being paid by the parent club, and it makes it a little bit easier for us, and we don't pick up any wages or any debt unless they play in a match. So, you know, we've been really quite sensible about that. I think, what was it? Six have actually left us, and we've only brought in one Gloucester player to replace that. Six, all the others have been on loan. Paul's got a bit of a shopping list now for for kind of if the season is allowed to continue, and we'll back him in that, because we need to protect our position of where we are. Like I said at the beginning, you know, the big boys are coming for us, aren't they? And they've got more ammunition and firepower than we have. So anything we can do to stay where we are or stay in and around the playoff positions will be fantastic.
They might have more firepower, but they haven't got someone like you steering the ship or talking the ship forward, shall we say.
That's a good thing or a bad thing, you know. I try.
Listen, I have to tell you, they'll let you know when it's a bad thing. You're all right at the minute. You know, it's
a bit like my school report, isn't it? Alex must try harder. Do you know what I mean? It's or could try harder, I think it used to say.
I don't think he used to say should talk up more in class, but
I got expelled at about 14. I'm not exactly a fantastic role model when it comes to educational, but I'm not very good at spelling, period, really. Heavily dyslexic, because you've probably picked up on some of the things I write. But I make up for it in the verbal side. I was really good at drama.
And you picked the right sport, man.
Yeah, non-league's full of drama, particularly at the moment. Alex, it's been fantastic getting you back on the Non-League Football Show. I'm sure we will speak again very, very soon. But we wish you well in checking your emails tomorrow and you know, moving things along. Like, as we've said time and time again in the show, we need some leaders, and it's good to have had that conversation with you. Look after yourself and speak to you soon.
Take care.
Dave, a chairman with opinions, and that's what we need at the moment. We need someone out there trying to guide us.
Yeah, Marcel, listen, brilliant. You know, to be fair, if you're going to come on, say what you want, what you think, which he did. But, you know, his idea of completing the league with no matter who wants to or who doesn't, I understand why he wants to get to that. I'm not sure. I think it's brilliant. But if it's the last thing on the table, then it needs to be discussed. But love his honesty. Passion. We all have passion. But he's honest about it. He's honest to saying that, you know. And the funny thing was, Tim, he'd no idea what we spoke about at the top of the show. He'd no idea, because he doesn't come into the Zoom meeting until after that. So we nearly had to steer him away from saying the same stuff me and you had just done ourselves. So, yeah, brilliant interview. The sort of guy you go, if and when I can, I'm going to watch him and try and have a beer with him, because it would be entertaining, you know, and they're lucky to have him.
So imagine having a great season on the park, despite everything being thrown at you, and off the field before these things, things were really slotting into place as well, setting new schemes in motion based on firm foundations. And then you get to now. As a National League club forced to decide between head and heart, I guess, I think it's fair to say that that's the dilemma facing our nexus. And I'm pleased to welcome to the Non-League Football Show CEO at Darlington FC, David Johnson. Welcome, David.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon to you. Now, let's start with a weekend. A win in the FA Trophy over Wealdstone put you into the quarterfinals of the competition. You've now got a home tie against another Step 2 opposition in Hornchurch. All alongside that, we've got a lack of fans, we've got finance issues, cohesion in non-league. Do you sometimes think that you're almost like in some sort of exam question?
It's been a very challenging season. But, you know, I think that's been the same for clubs right away from the Premier League all the way down. No fans allowed in. All of the COVID restrictions to ensure that you keep your squad and your staff safe. And obviously it's been very, very difficult, with fixtures being cancelled. You're standing your players down for a couple of weeks, then you get them back. So it's a stop-start season. It's been very difficult for everybody.
Yeah, and as CEO, I guess your big job is to find practical solutions to every problem that's thrown at you day after day. And you look at the league table, you've only played 11 league games so far. So just a quarter of the season completed, and we're mid-February. Now, as much as, you know, we'd all love to finish the season, I can see the argument that practically it just isn't realistic.
It's going to be very difficult. I mean, we lost a game on Tuesday night to the weather again. You know, we're still sitting under probably 3 or 4 inches of snow up here in the northeast. So, and as we, you know, I'm delighted to see that the league have managed to bring in testing now. That starts next week. But my concern on obviously it's great from a safety perspective, but the more we test them, you know, we will find that people who are asymptomatic and will lose more games. As it stands, we're due to play every Tuesday and Saturday through to the end of the season, and you know, that's into July at the moment. That's just not going to be possible.
And I think then draws into debate the credibility of the season and playing it out, because we've already got in, you know, National South, we've got Billericay Town at the weekend. All their contracts players are on furlough, so they played six of their under-23s and gave them a debut, which is great, fantastic for the youngsters and gives them an opportunity, but it's not the competition that everybody signed up to.
No, I mean, we're waiting on the result of this vote resolution. And I think the sooner that comes out, the better, so clubs can decide what are happening. We're all voting on that. Hopefully the league will come forward shortly and give us the results. You know, it is a bit perverse if you fail to complete a fixture because you say we can't afford to continue, you face sanctions from the league. Whereas putting out an academy side and getting beat 10-20-0, you'll face no sanctions, but ultimately you just destroy the integrity of the game and the league. So it's a very difficult situation for everybody. The sooner this board is known, then we can sit down sensibly and discuss what the options are.
Yeah, we've just spoken to Alex Petherham, the co-chairman at Gloucester City, and they're one of the clubs that they're top of their division. They're super keen to make sure that the season finishes, and he's come up with maybe a hybrid model where, you know, if clubs don't want to play, they don't have to, they stay where they are, and then we have some mini leagues. But is that again affecting the integrity of the competition that we all signed up to?
In my view, it affects the integrity completely. You know, we've played 11 league games. Let's remember that we are where we are as clubs because we were led to believe that grants would be available for the seasons. A lot of clubs can't play financially and they won't trade insolvently. So, you know, and again, it's also, if you look into the league rules around loans and what we can and can't do, there's various things going on at the moment which potentially in breach of league rules. So I think, you know, trying to continue the mini league is just, it's a non-starter for me. You know, it's not about whether you want to continue or it's whether you can continue financially. We're not going to, you know, Darlington, before I joined, have been through a pretty tough time, been relegated to five divisions because of financial irregularities. And you know, we're not going to get in that position again. So we're not going to take on loans that we can't repay. Effectively, if you look at the league rules, you're not allowed to take on loans without independent financial committee approvals, but it's not supposed to affect your profit and loss for the season. Well, obviously, it will do. It'll affect the budgets that were put forward at the start of the season because ultimately, they've all gone out the window with COVID.
Yeah, David. I mean, the first one I'd like to talk about more is the football. You know, you've got effectively got yourself into the quarterfinals of the FA Trophy. You've a good tie. Well, when we get to this stage, they're all going to be difficult. And so we know you're serious about what you're saying because you're effectively throwing that one out. What's your thoughts about even trying to complete the trophy?
Well, we have to wait and see what the league want to do. You know, it's run by the FA and not by the National League. We need to understand whether it's possible. There have been examples in the FA Cup when clubs have been stopped from playing. For example, Marine weren't allowed to play. They weren't allowed to train, but they're allowed to play in the FA Cup. So, you know, there are examples out there of that. We need to wait and see for the integrity of the trophy. But the sooner we get the result of the vote and we understand each club's individual position, it's very, very difficult to understand whether we do play on or don't. Each club's going to have to look at their own cash flow and their own finances when the result is known. If it's null and void and everybody's over, then that's a different position. Everyone could just plan for next season. If they're saying we have to continue, then each club will need to make its own decision based on its own cash flow and financial position to say we either can or can't continue. And, you know, there has to be just cause for not fulfilling a fixture. And I'm sure you'll be looking at, the league will be looking at the relative cash flow positions of each club at the point of time, so they couldn't afford to play. But, you know, it's a very, very difficult situation. I don't think it's right to criticise any club for their own stance. Clubs who want to play on may have the finance to do so, and I understand the Gloucester want to play on because they're top of the league and they've got, you know, private money that's in that supporting them. Other clubs just can't play on because they can't pay the wages. And then you get into the issues of playing academy sides to avoid sanctions, or you look at furlough schemes. I've seen some things going up and down the country with furlough schemes. You know, so every club is trying their best to continue. But if they can't continue because of the financial position, I fully understand that.
And effectively, you know, if four clubs, everybody's okay and four clubs can't play, what do you, effectively they finish the league? Are you saying that, you know, the integrity of the division is about everyone competing in it? And if some people can't, effectively it's over? Is that your opinion of it? I don't mean what's going to happen, David. I'm trying to find out what your own personal opinion is. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, my view, we ask the league to come forward, the league will come forward with a vote, and it's for all clubs to decide on, do we continue or do we stop? And I think, we, you know, when that comes through, if it's stopped, then everybody stopped. If it's continue, I think it's a more complicated position, because if someone asked us to continue, we would be saying, actually, well, we can't afford to. And therefore, we're not going to trade insolvently, and, you know, as directors, we can't do that. And we're not going to take on loans that we have no view on how we're going to settle in the future. So it's a very, very difficult position of being forced to continue. I think each club would have to go individually, discuss this professionally with the league, sit down with the league and say, this is our position, this is where we are, and this is why we're making such a decision. But, you know, that, until we get the vote back, then we're not going to know. But I think if it's null and void, it is null and void. We voted collectively to end the season.
And just on the start of the season, when you got the first grant money, what I find strange is that people would have taken on a season effectively only being funded for 3 months. So were you, in your heart and your board, did you believe that any further money would be grants?
Yes, I mean, the letters were issued at the time, but there's nothing that mentioned letters about loans. And, you know, we were prepared to not start the season. We were prepared to withdraw from the FA Cup before our first ball was kicked, unless we got some reassurance from the league. Because obviously once we kick a ball, we trigger the players' contracts that, you know, we've got to honour and oblige, which we do so. And there was never any mention of loans. And, you know, we wouldn't have started the story, you're only going to get grants for 3 months and then you're going to have to take loans, because we'd have been in the same, we'd have said right at the start of the season what we're saying now.
Yes, yes. And that's the sort of point I'm trying to get at. And I think everybody's aware of that. The last one for me, Tim, is David, we've tried desperately to get Brent Barwick on, or anybody from the National League, to tell us their side of the story, the where we are with it, what, you know, how they feel that they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, just to be visible and transparent. And we've struggled to get anybody to come on. We've had basically an email back from one of the media guys who Tim deals with, not me. And basically, I'm disgusted by it. Not because they don't come on my show, because that's irrelevant. There's three non-league shows. Go on one of them. How have they been with yourselves, in as much as any information that you've needed to get off of them, or communication between them? I don't want you to hammer them. I just want you to tell me the truth.
Look, you know, we're all involved in business life outside of the football here. Some of us are, and we have communication with our own organisations. COVID's been an extremely difficult time for employees. I've got 600 employees spread around the world who, you know, we have to communicate to effectively what's happening and how we're going to continue through COVID. I think the league were very slow coming forward, to be honest. I've fed this back. It's not something I haven't said to the league on how we handle COVID in the early stages. The silence was deafening, what we had to do. I think once we came up with a plan around the grant funding and what was happening, then the league have tried to communicate more about COVID. And Colin Peake's done an excellent job in advising around, you know, what we have to do with protocols for match day, and the, you know, the doctor's involvement around anybody with symptoms, etc. So that's been decent. But in terms of where we are now, you know, I kind of comment on what the policy is, but for me, in the absence of communication, in that vacuum, it just breeds speculation. It leaves decision making to clubs to make their own decision about what they're doing. They may make the wrong decisions in the absence of guidance and leadership. So I have spoken to links, so look, please try and improve your level of comms that are coming out. You know, this is not a witch hunt. If someone's made a mistake, it happens in daily life. People make mistakes in business every day. We know there were no minutes taken from the meeting. Yeah, that's done and dusted. Now let's deal with the fallout and decide the best way of moving forward. You know, that's my view on this. And I think then we can sit back at a later date and look at, right, okay, what have we got to do in the future about governance to ensure this kind of situation doesn't happen again? What worked well for us through COVID? What could we have done better? I think communication will need to be looked at to say, well, how do we communicate more effectively? So a lot of clever people within, you know, the boardrooms of of the clubs up and down the National League who have decent roles outside of football and have a lot of experience they can bring to the table to support this. And I think, you know, that's what I'd like to see in the future, is that we come together to determine what's the structure, what's the governance, what qualification experience from a commercial, corporate, legal point of view do we need to ensure that we don't get in similar positions again. And that's always a good activity to do afterwards. But the comms, you know, I don't think you never communicate too much. Communicate, let people know what's going on. And I'd like to see more comms. And I had a good conversation with Mark Ives about that the other day. And, you know, they're looking to try and improve that. I know Mark is trying very hard. It's a situation he's inherited, and he's trying to pick things up. But I'd like to see more communication come out of the league, absolutely, because where we are, just allowing clubs to make their own decisions and do their own things, I think that kind of anarchy is not the way forward. And then we need a bit of leadership to be sure.
Yeah, I think it's very balanced and well said. I think that we would also, I think Mark Ives, we've got big hopes for Mark that he'll maybe push the board into a direction where I don't think there've been too many times where there is transparency. I don't mean for me, I'm only a guy that has a big mouth on a radio show, but certainly for yourselves and the players and the supporters of each club, I think you need more than what they're getting, to be honest. But it's fine by me, Tim. I do think that it's the fact that you're willing to pull out of a situation when you're in the last 16 of the FA Trophy. Effectively, you could make that statement, Dave, turn the light off and go off into the sunset, and we'd know where you are with it, you know.
Yeah, well, we've got to see where we get to. First of all, what's the league vote? Then secondly, where do we stand with the trophy? I'm not saying, you know, we may well continue to play. We need to talk through. I understand people might see the hypocrisy associated with that. But if there's prize money to be won, that's when you have no cash, it's very, very important. And also from the player's perspective, you know, they're close. But I mean, I want to find out first and foremost where we are with the league this year. We can then sit down and have sensible discussions and then have discussion around the trophy continues, yes or no.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the reasons why I was so keen to get you on, because you speak from a slightly different perspective, because you're a fan-run club. You've already touched upon the history and, you know, the reasons that the club effectively had to start again much lower down, and you've worked your way back up, but building the right foundations in the right way. You're there as well as a CEO, but I know, you know, you're part owner of the club as well, in a small respect. So you're talking with every hat on at the moment, and even you're confused as to, you know, where we're heading. That's where we've spoken about in this show this week. Leadership is so important.
Yes, I agree it is. And, you know, for me, you've seen, I mean, just, I'm not going to comment on how the government has handled COVID in the last 12 months, but I think one thing they have got right is the vaccination rollout, if you compare it to the rest of the world. You know, we are essentially, you know, we've got nearly 13 million people vaccinated now. If you look at the population of the UK, 67 million. If you look at the under 18s, who won't be vaccinated, at least 52 million. We need 26 million people vaccinated to get the R8 below one. We're at 13 now. We're halfway there. We'll be there in 4 weeks' time. So ultimately, in relation to vaccination and releasing lockdown and potentially getting fans back into games, it's probably not possible this season. So why have all the pain? You know, we know that there's a brighter future coming. We know that by July this year, we've probably got the UK population always fully vaccinated, and we can start the season next season with crowds back in, and then we're getting the revenue through the turnstiles that supports all the clubs. So for me, to put so many clubs under so much difficulty and financial pressure for the sake of 3 or 4 months, it's barking mad.
Yeah, I mean, one of the notes I've got here is that the fact that you're fan-owned, it means that you understand it from a different perspective, but you're also a business and a commodity, but you're also bigger than just one season. And as Dave pointed out, you know, if you can walk away this season when there's such a big prize and carrot just dangling in front of you, that's what a football club should be about. It's not just in the moment; it's the longer term future.
Yeah, look, we are building. You know, it's my ambition, the board's ambition, the sports group board, the fans to get back in the Football League. But that's a very difficult thing to do once you've fallen out. You've got to build. You have to, you know, you get your foundations in place, have the structures right off the field and on the field. And we've got a lot of challenges ahead of us in terms of, you know, we need our own ground. We need to get the revenue. We need a facility we can use 24/7, 365, not two Saturday afternoons as a tenant in a month. And you know, those issues. Therefore, I'm thinking, saying, well, actually, do I want to take on £200,000-£300,000 of loans when actually that funds a stand at one end of the ground? A terrace one near the ground. You know, there's so many things to take into consideration here when you look at the wider aspect. It's not just about this season here and now. You've got to look at the bigger picture for the long term future of the football club. And you know, I'll not be distracted from that by taking on money that I think will be wasted.
Yeah. We're awaiting something from the National League. You know, whether all the, I believe all the clubs have got until the end of the month to effectively give their consideration. But we get to the end of February, we may have another 2, 3, 4 games under our belt. But as you've already said there, there's further decisions that then clubs may need to make.
Yeah, there is. You know, because if the league says you continue, We can't continue financially for the rest of the season. You know, we lost £50,000 in January. Okay, no income coming in, 50 grand gone. If I extrapolate that through to July, you're talking, you know, another 6 months. That's £300,000. You know, you just continue like that. It would put the club at risk, and I'm not prepared to do that. So you know, if we were forced to continue, we would decline.
We'll await the decision. It's been great to get you on for your different insight and knowledge as well. It's great on social media to have your opinions and put this forward and that sort. But people don't understand the intricacies of what it takes to run a football club and all the difficulties that COVID has brought, as well as, you know, when we were trying to get fans back into the game and your new testing regime. But it's also keeping in contact with all those people that you would normally see on a day-to-day basis that you can't necessarily see now. So it's I feel your pain at trying to keep everything together and deal with decisions that and guidance from the National League. But hopefully we'll get there. It's been great to have you on the Non-League Football Show, and hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
Take care, guys. Thank you for the time.
Dave, another club doing really well. You know, having a fantastic season. You know, we didn't really touch upon the fantastic work they've done off the field to get, you know, the youth stuff running up. I've forgotten the number of clubs now. I had it written down, but the academy's back up and running. You know, they're working on building the club again from having been having to go right down the bottom because of financial issues. They're now in that FA Trophy qualifier. It's a very winnable tie as well against Hornchurch. Nothing against Hornchurch. Some old friends there, but it's, if you were ever looking as a step two club to go into the FA Trophy semi-finals, this would be a season. Yet they're seriously contemplating that the season might just have to end.
Yeah. Again, a very honest interview, and it. I tell you what, I was coming out tonight and I was a Gloucester fan or a Darlington fan, I'd be very, very happy with the people running the football club. But that's the first thing I would say. The cynic in me says, I'd rather have these guys running the league instead of a football club, and maybe we would be in a much better place. But it's how much pain must David be going through with having to say, look, we need to walk away from this? In a season where they could end up at Wembley,
and also, Dave, you know that the different pressures of a fan-owned club as well, so it's not as if when we spoke to Alex and he was saying it's my train set, I can do what I want with my train set. It's not even his train set; he owns a little bit of the train set, but so does everybody else. But he's having to put this very, you know, like, and if anybody remembers Wurzel Gummidge, this is the proper thinking hat on, isn't it? This is the sensible head. This is the, you know, and I think I opened with the difference between heart and head. And it really is a tough decision. But as he said, it can't be threatening the future of the club for just the chance to have, you know, maybe one more great game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's right. He's right. And I come out of today's show frustrated, massively frustrated by the fact that we can't get anybody to represent the National League. We've been turned down left, right, and centre. That frustrates me. It angers me. Again, I always say, not about me and you. You know, we're hard to annoy, and we've been around the block. It angers me that there's an arrogance that they feel they don't need to address us so that they can be heard by the people who effectively watch the teams, support the teams, play for the teams, run the teams. So that angers me. But, you know, when I'm sitting having a cup of tea at dinner, I'll be thinking how lucky non-league is to have people in it like Alex and David, you know, who very, very different beasts, very different, but I'd be happy supporting or managing any one of their clubs because they know what they're doing, they care about what they're doing. And they're there to be answerable. You know, they're there. They're not hiding anywhere. So it's been one of them shows. It's been a real bittersweet experience, which often happens when we're talking about any board. It's weird, isn't it? You know, that when it's the FA or the National League, and I've sort of really changed my tune in the last week or so with the National League board, because I understood the problems and the difficulties that they must be having. But, you know, they've gone right downhill with me, and, you know, I'm sure they won't lose any sleep over it, but, you know, I ain't scared to tell them. I think they need to look up the word resignation, learn how to spell it, put it in an email and send it to somebody.
Well, we will keep badgering and then trying to get some sort of response. As you said, even if it's a written response, a statement that we can read out, then at least that's a step moving forward. But there's as you said, there's some great people involved in non-league, and we just need to make sure that everybody's working together.
Well, nearly as good as me and you do, eh?
Nearly.
Nearly.
All right, so let's round up the rest of the week's non-league news. Back over to non-league paper towers or the virtual world. Here's a welcome back to the non-league football show. Senior writer there, Mr. David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, always a pleasure to have you on. And I'm much more on the mend nowadays. It's which is probably unlike non-league football. We've spoken to Alex Petherham at Gloucester City. We've spoken to David Johnson up at Darlington. So we've got sort of the feel of why clubs want the season to end and why clubs want the season to continue. But I think that the theme of the show really has been a lack of leadership. We've tried to get the National League on the show again this week without success. And it's all a little bit of a mess at the moment. We're not quite sure when we're going to find out more information. And even when we find out more information, where that's going to head.
Yeah, that's right. Almost sort of not too much of sort of change, really, I suppose, from this time last week. You know, I think I was probably sort of expecting the vote to come out this week. Obviously, as things stand, that hasn't happened. I suppose clubs who have applied to Sport England for a grant and also for the loan are sort of waiting for those to come back, so they're maybe holding off on their vote for now. But yeah, things are sort of slowly sort of plodding along, really. And in the meantime, you know, the situation remains the same for, you know, National League clubs that don't want to play, those that do. There's more fixtures coming on Saturday. So yeah, it's very, very much the same situation, really, and there's certainly a growing sense of frustration around the National League and its clubs, and, you know, it's all sort of playing out rather nastily on Twitter. And yeah, it's certainly not a very good look for non-league and for National League football at the moment.
Yeah, it's something Dave and I discussed earlier. We've got to be careful that we protect brand non-league really as a whole, because you know, social media can be a fantastic thing, but it needs a little bit of control, or someone with some sort of fact control or fact checking, you know, just pointing out the errors of some people's ways, because it's very easy to pick up the incorrect facts or knowledge. And you know, week in, week out, you do it, we do it. Other podcasts try and educate people that running a non-league club's just not as simple as saying yes or no as to whether you want to play a game. Already, the chaos that's there, I see this weekend, we've got a couple of National South fixtures where clubs have said that they're not going to play anymore because of they can't afford to. So then the games have been switched, so the other opposition than was originally in the fixture list is now those games are being played, which again in normal circumstances is something that the league would be up in arms about, and it just adds to the confusion, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right in saying that, you know, you do wonder what this period has done in terms of the reputation of non-league and maybe the damage it has caused. I think that will probably only be something we can look back on in months to come, really. But yeah, it does make you wonder what impact this time will have on the game and clubs and people involved in terms of moving forward. Clearly, yeah, it's very, very much far from an ideal situation at the moment, as we all know. And like I say, it's difficult really to tell what's going to happen from one week to the next. You just get the sense of perhaps towards the end of this week now, as we are, that people are sort of at the end of their tether a little bit. And you know, it almost seems like it's boiling up to some sort of breaking point. I don't know what that might be, but you know, certainly when the vote comes out and whatever way it goes, you know, there's still going to be complaints either way from clubs that are annoyed at the season ending or clubs that are annoyed at the season continuing. So this is going to rumble on for a little while, really, and it's all just a bit of a sad situation that we're in this thing.
Yeah, I think, you know, to be honest, last week I was saying that the National League had done well to get these resolutions out. At least it moved the debate along. But because it's taken so long, and effectively, I think clubs have got till the 28th of February to make their decision, it's almost been detrimental to the whole argument, because it's becoming an argument, isn't it? We were talking about, you know, maybe the National League will go separate, but step one will go make a different decision from step two. That's out in the resolutions. But now we've got even maybe across step two, the National North clubs maybe favouring an end of a season, null and voiding. But clubs in National South, you know, their preference may be to continue the season. And then that creates even more of a mess.
Yeah, that's right. And I spoke to Mark White, talking Wanderers owner manager, a couple of weeks ago, he was effectively sort of saying we just need a little bit of patience at the moment. You know, I think at that time it was becoming known that, you know, it was certainly going to be loans and not grants, but clubs can apply for a grant from Sport England in exceptional circumstances. And I think perhaps clubs just need a little bit of time. That was at the time when the suspension was being lifted. I felt that was unnecessary. I think, you know, the suspension could have carried on for another week or another 2 weeks. And just to give a bit of time for clubs to think about things away from the football and to try and get things sorted. We've also now had the news about the testing last weekend, which is hopefully coming into the National League. So again, you know, at that time, the vote was out. Some clubs had already, you know, put in their votes. Some of them publicly stated what they were going to do. You know, perhaps if, you know, it's easy to say now with hindsight, but at that time before the vote, you know, Mark White was saying, you know, let's just wait a little bit and assess the situation. You know, I appreciate it from both ways. Obviously, you know, at the same time, like you say, Tim, you know, it's good that the vote's there and there is some clarity and sort of roadmap as to the way forward. At the same time, you know, could the vote have just been held off a little bit longer so clubs can hear more from Sport England about the funding situation? Then obviously, as it's happened last weekend and the news from the testing comes out, you know, would that sway people in casting their votes? You know,
we talk in week in, week out that there's so few people running these football clubs. You know, we talk about a board at a football club, and I'd be surprised if there's maybe some of the fan-run clubs have got 12 on the board, but I'd be surprised if there's more than 6 on the majority of boards or 6 that can attend to make these decisions. But they're also probably the same people that are doing various match day jobs as well. So as you say, if the football's still on and there's the additional burden of having to COVID test all the people within the squad and all the peripheral people, all the admin people as well that might make the day run, then there isn't thinking time to properly get your head around these decisions.
Yeah, well, this is it. And now what we're seeing is this sort of great argument really between clubs and the National League over whether they should be playing fixtures or not. And the National League, standing firm and carrying through these punishments for not fulfilling fixtures, as we're now seeing, the club issued letters regarding that today. So we're in this sort of very messy situation. Whereas, you know, like Mark White said, if we just sort of waited for another week or a couple of weeks, sort of delayed playing these fixtures, and just seeing how things were progressing, then, you know, might not well be in this state. Again, you know, there is an element of hindsight to this, of course, but, you know, and then you sort of get the feel whatever the National League would have done, people would have said it was the wrong thing and they should have done something else. But, no, it's a very messy situation at the moment and all quite unpleasant, really. And, it's certainly, I get the feeling that it's sort of not going to resolve itself this month at all. And like I say, there's going to be clubs very unhappy either way with what happens. And I think probably once the dust really settles going into the summer and beyond, I'm sure there'll be big questions asked all round as to how clubs sort of find themselves in the position they're in at the moment.
Yeah, well, as you say, you know, it might not be till the end of the month or beyond. And, you know, speaking to David Johnson earlier, you know, whatever the decision that comes from the mass, they all then have to consult back with their own boards to see how that impacts. So, I mean, we could. The longer it goes on, the more any club that's in difficulty is going to, move further down that abyss, and it just creates even more problems as the days tick by. I suppose, in a way, we're quite lucky that there has been some good news, I suppose, that's been making the national headlines and putting non-league in a slightly better light. The Wrexham takeover finally complete by Hollywood. Well, are they superstars? I guess they are. Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds, investing timely into Wrexham, because obviously Wrexham, it was all the talk about the grants and loans and everything from Sport England, but Wrexham don't even qualify for those because they're outside of England. So probably the perfect timing to get a little bit of extra cash injection from some well-known faces.
Yeah, quite. And well-known they very much are. I mean, it's really is a remarkable story when you look at it. An absolute sort of dream or sort of fantasy, I suppose, there's something like this happening. Obviously Ryan Reynolds and co have big plans for the club. There's currently a Netflix documentary being filmed already on them taking over the club. And I'm sure that one will rumble on because, with the amount of sort of resource they'll probably be putting into the club and plans they have for, the ground and perhaps how they want it to develop things, yeah, it's certainly going to be one to follow. And yeah, it'll be interesting to watch that documentary when it finally comes out. But of course, you know, it doesn't always guarantee success, these things. You know, it might make it a little bit easier, certainly, to get there. But yeah, the National League is very competitive, and I can't imagine they'll have it all their own way as they try to return to the Football League. But I'm finding it difficult to find a Wrexham fan who isn't excited about this, and he didn't want it to happen. It's truly a remarkable story.
Rightly so, because I mean, it's been ongoing for months now, and it's been not dragging its heels, because it almost every turn's been a positive one, hasn't it? It's been an exciting one, and I mean, fair play to them. But, I think they changed their names on their personal names on Twitter, their own handles. They're fully embracing this club ownership. But we've seen time and time again a number of high-profile people, say that they're going to support non-league, get involved in that, and it soon disappears very quickly. And these two do seem to have continued and seem passionate for the cause and taking it to that next level.
Yeah, this is it, isn't it? I think they've gone about it in completely the right way. They've really embraced sort of what Wrexham stands for and the local area. That sort of video they did with the shirt sponsor and things like that. They've completely gone about it in the right way, and what that does is it just gets everyone on side very early, and that's what they needed to do. And from what they've said and what they've pledged, they'll do their utmost to continue sort of the history of the club and the heritage of the club, and not sort of move it into something it isn't really. Which is great to see.
I know there were some fears that when they first announced that maybe it would come almost like an American football franchise type thing, and it would lose its identity. But definitely the Wrexham, the North Wales, that is something that they're looking to embrace and make sure goes forward with the club. Now, we're talking National League, because that's the only football that's going on. Apart from the FA Trophy, we did manage to get some trophy games with some upsets, and then the trophy draw earlier in the week as well. Hopefully, the FA Trophy gets to a conclusion, or nearer a conclusion than last season.
Yeah, it seems like it's heading in the right way, doesn't it? Obviously, the FA Vars is currently on hold, but yeah, the trophy seems like we're on course for two back-to-back Wembley finals, maybe on the same day, who knows? But yeah, it's certainly heading in the right direction. I was at Havant last weekend for their game against Notts County, which Notts won penalties. Really enjoyable game, actually. It finished 2-2, and both sides are down to 10 men, and then Notts edged it on spot kicks. I also had a little chat with David Oldfield at Oxford City today. They got past Peterborough Sports, who themselves had a really good run to reach that stage, and he's pleased with the way things are going, both in the league as well. They're on a real, really good run of form on all fronts, really. So, very positive chat with him. You've obviously got Aldershot, who were handed a bye through their tie against Chesterfield after one of their players tested positive for COVID last weekend, and the game was postponed. And now that one, due to, I think, scheduling issues and managing to fit games in and isolation reasons, Aldershot have a bye there, so they'll very much want to take that with both hands, really. And going forward into the quarterfinals now,
it's weird. We're talking about the quarterfinals of the FA Trophy. We're middle of February. Yet we're also talking about that in the National North, clubs only playing 11 league games. I mean, it's certainly a season that still brings out surprises.
Look at Hornchurch sort of getting to this stage. It's a great story with Mark Stimpson, of course, very much an FA Trophy legend for his exploits both as a manager and a player. I guess it's sort of a nice relief, I suppose, at times, sort of, you know, seeing those results come in on a Saturday and sort of a little bit of normality of games being played. But I think it is always sort of tinged by games being behind closed doors, you know, some fixtures not taking place because teams can't fulfil them, that sort of thing, really. But it does seem like the drama has remained throughout.
Yeah, and plenty of drama still to report every week as well. You made a few mentions of things that we can expect to read this weekend, but anything else in particular we should be looking out for on Sunday morning?
Yeah, lots in there on Sunday as well. Still coming out as 32 pages, even though we've got limited games. So, lots of words in there to keep you going through the week. Certainly won't get it read on Sunday alone. We've got a nice piece of Pontefract Collieries, North Ferriby in there, Thetford Town, a piece of Matt Tubbs, of course, the great Crawley goal scorer 10 years ago when he was lighting up the league with them. Like I say, we have FA Trophy reaction as well with Mark Stimpson, David Oldfield, Aldershot and Woking. Loads in there this week. I could go on, but we might be here for another half an hour. So,
we need some surprises on Sunday too. So make sure you do pick up your copy of the non-league paper on Sunday. David, it's ever a pleasure to have you on. Have a safe and sound weekend, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Cheers, Tim. Thank you.
A bumper show, that one. So that really is all we've got time for this week. Thank you to all of our guests, for everybody for listening, wherever you may be. It's a difficult one at the moment. Social media is a great place to get information, share your thoughts on that. But I think, as we found out from our guests today, there's a lot of disinformation out there as well, and people need to be taken on board. And I used the word I pake earlier. Maybe you need to assimilate. It's almost like listening to Countdown now, this show. But we need, people need to bring that information together and sort of try and understand. We've had two different club perspectives as to whether the season should continue, could continue. And you can see that every club is different, every club is unique, and there's a reason that clubs are having to make these decisions, not just on a whim, or not just to be selfish for their own respects, but also if clubs go out of business and aren't there, then the pyramid falls down, and it's not good for non-league in the long run. We need to be considering the wider implications of every decision that's being made. Anyway, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anderson's there at DaveAnderson78. Myself there at Tim Fuel. Plus, of course, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. So the Non-League Gaffer Tape's there as well. And hopefully we'll be bringing that back to your earlobes very, very soon. Again, get in contact via social media, whether you're a fan, you're a player, you're a manager, you're a chairman, or even the National League Board. It's at Non-League Show. Stay alert, stay safe. Thank you and goodbye.
Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA.